We appreciate the time so much. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to get into a couple of different things here. I want to begin with this, though. At Sunday's protest, you spoke and you delivered a message about all these social injustices that we've experienced, not only this weekend, but we've been experiencing for quite some time. You mentioned that although we have experienced and are still experiencing a brutality problem, you also mentioned that it's a relationship problem as well. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so I think most people, especially African-Americans, they understand the police identity as a collective, right? And if we look at the history of policing, the reality is we enforce slavery laws. We enforce Jim Crow laws. People are pointing to the war on drugs as disproportionately targeting African-Americans. So we have this history of racism. And when events happen in the community, like the use of force issue in Minneapolis, it gets tied to that. So it's a relationship problem. There's been a relationship problem throughout the history of policing with specifically African-Americans and the police.
And over the weekend, obviously there were tons of protests all over the USA. And of course, there were a number of peaceful protests and riots that, of course, that took place. And I know that going into these, I think everybody's got an idea as to what they might expect. Everything seemed to be pretty peaceful in Lorain County over the weekend, and it's continued to be pretty peaceful over the last couple of days as well. But heading into Sunday, what were your expectations going into that protest?
Well, so if you look at Lorain, I think it's a special place. I've grown up here my whole life. The diversity that's here, it's very common to see white people and black people together, mixed couples, neighborhoods integrated. I think in comparison to the rest of the United States, we're used to being together, from our schools to our communities, local communities, housing areas. So I didn't think we had the same level of tension. The other benefit we have is we had a police chief prior to Chief McCann, who I think was ahead of his time as far as community relations. He was from the community. So he's kind of done organically through his long law enforcement career of connecting with the community what, you know, law enforcement is saying they need to do today to connect. He just did it. So we had a great relationship, I think, relatively speaking, with the community. So we expected that if we came in and supported the cause, which we absolutely did, Chief McCann made statements against Minneapolis use of force. So we wanted to connect with our community and relationship and support them. And we were optimistic that we could do it.
Well, and I would say certainly mission accomplished from you guys this past weekend, Lieutenant. Now, you also announced a new use of force advisory board. Could you expand on that maybe and tell us, you know, who or what is all involved with this?
Sure. So in 2016, after, you know, all the incidents that took place in 2015, Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, all these incidents, there was a tangible tension, you know, between the police and I think African-American communities. Chief Rivera launched some forums in our community to speak with our community leaders, to hear from the people. And when we went to these various forums in the city, the key issue that continued to come up was that the community didn't trust the police when it came to force. They basically want to know who's policing the police. And so listening to that voice, we started what was called a use of force advisory and trying to get community leaders. Now, the problem when you do that is, you know, there's specific case laws and policies, and you have to be able to assess force as an educated person in those areas. So we brought in these community leaders and we trained them in the case law that pertains to use of force, to the use of force policy and all the dynamics involved in that. And we began to have them review the force to build trust with the community. Unfortunately, we weren't able to follow through and keep it going. And that's where Chief McCann came in January, wanted to re-energized the program, wanted to get it started again, and then that's what we've been doing ever since.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Lorain Police Lieutenant Dan Reinhardt. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Lieutenant Reinhardt, you mentioned a few moments ago going over some of the policies and getting people to understand the policy in the use of force cases. Can you elaborate a little bit on some of the policy that's involved in some of these use of force cases?
Sure. So Graham v. Connor is the key case in use of force. And what it says is that force has to be objectively reasonable. In other words, you can't bring like subjective opinion into the assessment. And it basically takes you back to the Fourth Amendment as the sole criteria for assessing force. So, for instance, you can't do a hindsight evaluation. You have to do it objectively, with the officer's knowledge he would have had at the time. And so all these things kind of create a scope that you have to assess force from. And most people don't understand that. So it was training them in those parameters so they could assess force according to the law, according to the standard that it's supposed to be assessed by.
And what's interesting about what you guys were able to accomplish on Sunday is that one of the things you commonly hear is that people certainly enjoy the fact that this is certainly being brought to the forefront. There's more attention being brought to what's going on, but people also want to see action. And I think when you guys mentioned that you are going to have a new use of force advisory board, people certainly saw that action. And it wasn't just people showing up to protest. You guys were doing something about everything that's gone on now over the past week or so. So I guess my next question would be, over the last couple of days, have you noticed any kind of changes in the exchanges that you've had in any way, shape, or form with some of the citizens of Lorain?
You know, I haven't noticed any different, but we I think we have a pretty good relationship with the community. So we don't have a lot of tense encounters. The use of force incidents are very low. If you look at the history of Lorain policing, our percentage, even though we make quite a lot of arrests maybe in comparison to other communities because we do have problems, our uses of force are very low. Our officers are good with interacting with the community. And another thing that hasn't changed for us is a lot of our officers are from Lorain, and we've grown up here, and we know the people. So we don't do it in a disconnected manner. We're in relationship from growing up here our whole lives with the people of the community. So I don't see the same tension. So the simple answer is there hasn't been a lot of change, but we didn't have a lot of problems in the past necessarily either.
Which is interesting, too, because I think that really kind of goes back to the opening question when we talked about the whole relationship problem. And it's not necessarily something that pertains to Lorain. I think that certainly pertains to a lot of different areas, not only here in Lorain County, but all across the country as well. It's that relationship, I think, that you spoke to earlier, right? Because if you grew up in the area, chances are you know a lot of the same people, so that when you are pulling somebody over, not necessarily for an arrest, but if there's a reason for you to encounter a citizen, maybe you're not on a first-name basis with that person, but there's at least enough of a relationship so you can sit down and have a pretty common conversation. Is that fair to assess?
Sure. And, you know, to clarify, we can do better, and we can develop a better relationship with the community, which we want to do. But I think as far as police goes nationwide, we're ahead of the curve here as far as our relationship with people. We are familiar with people in the community. We have interacted with them outside the job a lot of times.
Well, one of the things that you continue to hear at a lot of these protests as well, people want things to change. So, Lieutenant Reinhart, we can close out with this. In your mind, what kinds of things do you think need to change and be done moving forward to try and correct some of these issues?
Are you talking about policing in general across the nation?
Policing in general across the nation, yes.
I think we have to call it what it is. There is a clear divide between African-American communities and police departments that typically are almost all white officers. And we have to claim that problem and start to find ways to develop relationships with those communities, and we need to listen. And I would say that maybe changes in our practices, too, on enforcement, different things. There needs to be a system-wide change in law enforcement. That's a question that that needs to be handled by people a lot smarter than I am.
Well, I don't know. I mean, over the last 10 minutes or so, you've given us some really good stuff here, too. So maybe you should give yourself a little bit more credit. But, Lieutenant Reinhart, this was certainly an interesting conversation. And we Rocco and I certainly learned a lot here in the last 10 minutes. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us. We certainly appreciate the insight as well.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. That's Lorain Police Lieutenant Dan Reinhart joining us here on Bullseye on the